Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Michelle Romero joins us. She's a Henderson City Councilwoman, and she's running for mayor. Here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada News.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail, we help it grow, and we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Mendham with Joey Whitaker. Entertainment here at the Carson Valley Inn is extraordinary.
Yeah, super proud of the TJ's Corral, our outdoor venue, about 1,500 seats. We've had first-class entertainment out there. We've had Merle Haggard, we've had Chris Young, we've had Lee Bryce a couple times, we've had Pat Benatar, Joan Jett, who's in the Hall of Fame. We're real proud out there, and it's just a great time. Watch CarsonValleyInn.com and grab those tickets early. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
Nevada Newsmaker Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome for the first time to the program Michelle Romero. She is a city councilwoman in Henderson and running for mayor of Henderson. So welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So let's start out because, to be honest, most of my audience has no clue who you are. So tell us who you are, what you do.
I'm a native of Henderson, lived here my whole life except for about 6 years that my husband served in the military. I worked for the city of Henderson for 25 years in various departments, but the last 16 of those I was in redevelopment. The last 9 of those I was the manager for the Henderson Redevelopment Agency. And so my work was to focus on more mature areas of our city and bring investment, vitality, and activity to those areas so that they're up on par with the newer parts of the city. After I retired, I opened my own business and began working on the other side of the table and help developers get through the process, make sure that they complied with city agreements, those types of things, and then ran for office in 2019. And so roughly for 30 years, I've been serving Henderson and making sure it's the best Henderson it can be.
All right, for the folks in Northern Nevada that are familiar with sparks always being blown off in the Reno Sparks, tell folks around the state where Henderson is in relationship to Las Vegas.
So Henderson's between Boulder City and Las Vegas, just a little bit south of Las Vegas, but pretty much bordering. It's hard to tell where one starts and one stops.
Okay, and population?
About 330,000, 340,000.
Okay, so not small by any
means. No, second largest city in the state.
Right. So so now we got that out of the way. Talk to me about redevelopment efforts. What has been accomplished by the council so far in the last couple of years? Because, there were certainly some issues, especially in the downtown area.
There were. And if you haven't been down there, you should go down. It's an entirely different area. There are brand new restaurants. There are places to go for the people who have families. We have a new amphitheater, a new plaza next door to City Hall where we have all sorts of activities. We just recently had the Henderson Symphony Orchestra come in and they played along with the Disney movie Coco, and we had 3,000 people in the plaza watching that event. We just built Lifeguard Arena, which is right next door to City Hall where our convention center used to be. Serves people day and night, all kinds of ages, and they come for all kinds of activities, hockey, ice skating, and we have brand new restaurants, new casinos all up and down the street. There is activity constantly in the Water Street District area, where before there was a real lack of investment. There was a lot of boarded up windows. Now it's vibrant, active, and everything that we anticipated it would be when we started planning for it 15, 20 years ago.
And I was going to say, because I mean, that's really the key, because people are always talking about redevelopment and diversification. And folks, when they hear this, they think, well, yeah, in a couple of years it's going to happen. But it really does take 15, 20, sometimes longer years.
It does. A redevelopment, the life of a redevelopment area is typically 30 years. And it's because it takes that long for things to really, you know, kick in and to become healthy and sustainable. Prior to that, you never know what's going to happen. For example, Water Street went through two major downturns in the economy, and it has weathered those and now is sustainable, thriving, and active, and as are other redevelopment areas as well. We have Cadence and Union Village in our other Eastside area, and both of those are thriving and doing very well. So it's been a success.
What was the catalyst? I mean, was it just the fact that, you know, the volume of people moving here was so great? Was it incentives that the city provided? What were the catalysts for the growth?
I think it was a combination of a few things. First of all, we had a council, and do have a council now, that had a vision, and they stuck to that vision, and they didn't accept anything less than that. They were very particular about what projects that they approved for the downtown and what types of things they went after to incentivize. So there were incentives for businesses to come in, because when you're coming into a redevelopment area, it's a risk. You know, if you were developing in a more active part of town, your risk is much lower. So those incentives were needed to kind of even the playing field so that people coming in would have a fair chance. So we had the incentives, we had the willpower, and a smart council to look at those types of things that would be regional attractions that would then spur development down the street, and that's what we have there. Same thing for Cadence and for Union Village. The built-up demand for housing just really spurred Cadence on, and then the need for medical spurred on Union Village, and that's why we have both of those thriving as well.
Okay, what kind of incentives did you offer?
It varies. It depends on the size of the project. For example, we had everything from a facade improvement grant for somebody going into an existing building in the downtown to gap assistance. If there was a project that cost this much, but they could only raise this much and there was a little gap in there, redevelopment money is always the last money in. So they have to perform first, and then they get the gap funding to finalize the project. So there's that type of funding. For larger projects such as Cadence, it's still on the back end of the project, but they generate tax increment over time. So they essentially get their property taxes and then some back over time to help offset the costs of the infrastructure they had to put in to make that area actually even buildable.
Okay, so it seems like housing prices have been going crazy. Is that the same story in Henderson?
Definitely.
What kind of increase have you seen over the last year?
We've seen upwards of 20% increases in the housing market, and which is why we're really trying to find a wide range of housing types to offer to all income types in Henderson. It's a problem for everybody. Young families moving in can't afford to find a house. They can't even afford to rent a house. And so we're really looking at different product types, different income levels, a variety of different products that would help provide an option for everybody at every income level.
Okay, so here's the million-dollar question. What have you found, especially for the lower-income workers that desperately need housing, but And we need the workers,
yes.
But they can't find it. What are you doing to specifically spur that?
So a couple of things. We've worked with some developers to do mixed income housing, multifamily housing, but mixed income, very, very, very nice apartments. But there are low income eligible apartments within that development. So you really can't tell from looking at it who is the low income and who is not. The apartment units are all equal and beautiful, but there's that option for them to have that same living conditions as somebody else at a different income level. We also have looked at starter housing, where we're just smaller, you know, for smaller families or entry-level employees, where we try to work with the developers to keep their prices down as much as they possibly can.
And how is that working out? Because, I mean, you know, with the cost of all the building materials going through the roof, we had Don Ahern on here earlier,
yes.
And he was talking about just the increase in the price of steel. It's just through the roof.
It's difficult.
It's making it incredibly difficult.
It is. The best thing that we have done is we have allowed smaller units, we've allowed smaller lot sizes, and a lot of people don't want big yards anymore. We have a drought situation, they don't want a maintenance issue, so we've allowed the smaller units. We're changing our code now to allow for accessory dwelling units in certain circumstances so that people...
So this would be like mother-in-law quarters?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So we've broadened
the
opportunity.
Term, huh?
Yes, it is. We've broadened the opportunities for those types of housing, so families who have that issue have the option to have more families within one lot.
Are you seeing more internal growth? Because people don't always realize this, but within a community, it's not just people moving into the area, it's people who have kids and the kids are grown up now and they want to stay in the same area, mm-hmm. and so they need housing as well. Where is your major growth coming from in terms of housing needs? Is it from out of market? Is it from Southern California? Is it internal? Or a
I would say of most of ours is from external, from people coming in from out of state, mostly California. But there is some of that, I would say it's about 75-25. With 75% coming in from out of state and 25% just growing out of their homes or becoming empty nesters and looking for a different product type.
Are you seeing people coming in to make cash purchases and doing a lot of outbidding? Because that's what we're seeing in Northern Nevada, is that it's way above the asking price.
One of my children just bought a house, and they made an offer within hours of it going on the market. And there was already a bidding war for that house, and they had to pay a substantial amount over market value just to get in the house. And so it's a problem that is continuing on, and hopefully we'll see some stabilization in the supply chain and the prices of some of the commodities that are going to building a house, and we'll be able to stabilize a little bit, but it's definitely a problem.
To say the least. So let's take a break, and we'll come back with the councilwoman from Henderson running for mayor after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on 2 floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan, we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Michelle Romero. She is running for mayor of Henderson. She is currently on the city council there. And, you know, we're talking about prices going through the roof and everything's crazy. And now we have an infrastructure bill with billions of dollars coming to the state of Nevada. What does this do, in your opinion, to the marketplace where we're already on fire?
Well, I think it does a couple of things. Part of the boom causes other problems. So we are seeing a lot of traffic issues as a result of all the building that's happening. The infrastructure bill will help us address some of those problems. We have very specific targets for the funding for traffic relief. We have some interchanges for I-15 and Via Nobila out in West Henderson. We have some others for the interchange at the 95 and 215 where we really have backup problems that cause issues for the entire area. And so we're looking at that, but we're also looking at money for water and water recycling, partnering with Southern California to make sure that they can start recycling. We've been doing it for years in Southern Nevada. They have not been doing it in California. So in exchange for them building a recycling plant and us helping them do that, and us as a region, not just as Henderson.
Yeah, because I was going to say this is the Southern Nevada Water
Authority. which we pay into. We'll help them build that. In return, they'll free up, I can't remember how much, 25 million gallons or something like that, of their water supply that will then stay in Southern Nevada. So it's a win-win for everybody, and that infrastructure bill will help us with that as well. So there's a variety of things that we're looking at, internet access for areas that don't have it. We tried to really look at where the areas of most need were for our community and really highlight those areas for our federal delegation.
Okay, with all this money coming in, but we're already struggling to get employees in just about every field. I mean, you go to so many places, restaurants are only open 5 days a week because they can't staff them 7 days a week, and it just goes on and on, and especially in the construction industry, plus all the shortages. Who does the work? That's the question.
It's a good question. We have partnered with Workforce Connections. We've partnered with our colleges of Southern Nevada and Nevada State College and even our high schools to get the supply chain in a better condition of employees. We're working in a partnership with Haas Automation and College of Southern Nevada to do a center of excellence for training for advanced automation and manufacturing. That's already approved and the design is being built now, put together, so that we can get that supply chain of employees earlier on. We're partnering with Clark County School District to do a vocational trade school in Henderson, and then we've worked with them on the curriculum to make sure that what they are teaching is what the people who are coming to the Valley with their businesses need as far as trained employees. So we're trying to look at the full spectrum of how we can get a better workforce. And then we are working with Workforce Connections again to do trade job fairs and things like that to make sure that as many people are willing to work have that opportunity and they're put in contact with those employers.
What do you think about the number of people who are just continuing to stay home at this point and not re-entering the workforce? The last number I heard was 100,000 construction workers in Southern Nevada who are not working.
At some point, there's going to come a point where they don't have any money coming in, and there's no options for assistance anymore. They're going to have to get back to work. You know, I think we have demonstrated that there are vaccines out there for those who are concerned about the virus. There are treatments for those people who get the virus that are very effective. So I think it's time to essentially get off your rear and get back to work if you're able to do so.
I would totally agree with you, but it's just fascinating to watch how long this is taking.
It really is.
Let's take another break and we'll be right back.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner. Or not. That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner with locations around the valley. UMC Quick Care. for all your small calamities.
I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Mendham with Joey Whitaker. One of the things I love about the Carson Valley Inn here in beautiful downtown Mendham is CB Steak. I have eaten here so many times. Tell folks what they can expect when they come here to eat.
It's a beautiful room, great service. We have certified Angus beef, seafood, lamb, a great range of appetizers, and wonderful desserts. Jean-Michel's done a great job of selecting some beautiful wines for us. The customers love it, and we've got a great selection of cocktails as well. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner. Or not.
That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner, with locations around the valley.
UMC Quick Care, for all your small calamities.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Michelle Romero. She is on the Henderson City Council and running for mayor of Henderson. So we talked about the infrastructure bill and how we're going to accommodate that. Now we have the Build Back Better bill that is trying to be pushed through Congress at this point in time. What are your thoughts about that and what it's going to do to both the national and to your local economy?
First, it has to get through. So there's a question on that. And I...
Well, let's say it does.
Assume it does.
Well, it's a leap of faith to say it does. So okay. We'll just put it like that.
Same thing. We have been out in the community now for about a year and a half, working with those people who have been most in need and have been hit the hardest by the downturn and the pandemic. And we have asked them, you know, what are your needs? Where do we see gaps? Where do we see the things that maybe we've overlooked in the past? And that's where we have been putting our efforts. And much of that is childcare, you know, people trying to go back to work, but they can't find childcare because they can't, just as we talked about before.
Is that really the biggest issue? Because it seems like it is to me that it makes no sense that you're making $17 an hour and you're paying $15 an hour for childcare.
That is exactly the problem. It is so expensive, and that's just for one child. When you have multiple children, what's the incentive to go to work? You can't afford to. So that's something that we really are looking at, and we kind of have tried to combine that with the need for expanding educational opportunities. So Henderson has been working to do its own preschool to get children ready to enter the elementary school. And so we'd like to maybe partner that and expand upon it if we can with those dollars to make sure that it kind of becomes a twofold thing where they're learning, but they're also getting childcare at a much reduced fee than maybe they would have to pay at another facility.
Okay, but are you doing it through private enterprise or are you doing it through the council itself?
We are doing it through the city itself in partnership with College of Southern Nevada and Nevada State College. So we use their teachers, we use their curriculum, and they get credit for the teaching opportunities. And so we are working very closely with them.
Yeah, it really seems to me that will just free up a whole chunk of workforce.
Yes.
of people that would like to get back into the workforce, but it just makes no sense at this point.
That's right.
Another area that you appear to specialize in from doing a little research on you is diversity issues.
Okay.
Talk to me about that and what the efforts have been that you've taken over the last couple of years since you've been on the council.
So, since I've been on the council, I've been out and talking to many, many groups, and I find that there are a lot of people who feel left out. They feel like they haven't, you know, maybe received the attention or the recognition that they are important parts of our community.
Which groups?
I've talked to veterans. I've talked to the Equality Center and they're the people who frequent there. And they just, you know, maybe don't feel like they have as much voice as they need to have. And so I've been working closely with those groups to make sure that they do, to make sure that they're recognized, that they have the services they need. We're working very closely with a wide range of veteran services, for example, to bring a sort of roadshow to Henderson on a regular basis that offers all information on whatever different kinds of things you need help with as a veteran as you could possibly think of. And I have a board that is working, and each of them bring their ideas, and then we say, okay, this is where there's a gap and how can we fix it? And so that is just really taking off, and we are in the planning stages for the roadshow now, working with the Equality Center to make sure that they have the services they need, that they have connections that they need with other important partners in the community for food banking and things like that. We're also working, we have homeless issues that we're addressing and trying to make sure that those people who are either fragilely homed or on the streets have the information they need to get into housing and to get their life back on track.
Well, that's where we have to leave it for this conversation, but you're very welcome to come back, and if there's a primary, then maybe we can do a debate here on the program. But very nice to meet you, and good luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you next time.